Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know what time it is. I said it over and over. Same old thing. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. I'm joined by my one co-host, Jeff the Joker. Two Jersey guys are in the house. And as always, on this time of the evening, on this place, at this time, is the FSP Crew Show. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Is the Fantasy Sports and Casino.com hotline where players play and winners win. And if you want to talk to Jeff or me, that's where you go. We also have chat room that's available to you. And I like I always say, make a comment, make a statement, ask a question. What you put in it is what you get out of it. And without further ado, let me bring my fellow Jersey guy in here, and let's get this show rolling. Talk to me, Jeff. How you doing, my man?
Hey, Jerry. How you been?
Not bad, not bad. It's first, not the first day, but spring is officially here. Tomorrow will be the officially the first day of spring. Hopefully, Jeff. Me and you being two guys from Jersey, and we both know how crazy Jersey weather can be, that the bad part of the weather, meaning the snow, is behind us, and we can look forward to warmer weather, the birds chirping, the trees and the flowers starting to bloom, and getting closer to OTAs, getting closer to the draft, and getting closer to Memorial Day when the summer really begins.
You kind of have a schedule, you know, as a sports fan, you have a schedule. Let's say late June NFL training camp start, weekend mm-hmm. after Labor Day, the regular season, yep. yada, yada. But now the NFL is messing with this schedule because they'll mess with anything to make another dollar. That, yep. that they move the draft into May, which I don't like that because it's less time for the teams to make contracts with these guys. And mm-hmm. I hope it doesn't increase the number of holdouts because there's nothing I hate more than when a first-round pick holds out and then he gets to camp late, and then frequently they get hurt, they get in the yep. doghouse, and it's just a waste of a rookie year. And yep. you know, I'm a lousy card player, and if I was an agent, I would only bluff the holdout because I'd tell the guy, I'd say, listen, I want you in camp on time. I want you in good with the coaches and competing for a job. Now, mm-hmm. a veteran holdout, depending on the guy, some veterans hold out, no problem, you know. And then some guys don't have the self-discipline to get themselves into the right kind of shape, you know.
Right.
But the rookie holdouts, that's the kiss of death.
And the thing about it, Jeff, and not to belabor the point, but the thing about it is you had touched on a holdout. And it seems like the holdout is a kiss of death because you can almost guarantee if somebody holds out, whether it's a veteran won the contract and holds out, leading up to training camp, or a rookie holding out to eventually get there whenever, but not when he should get there, that spells injury right away. I mean, it's been like clockwork. These guys, they're highly paid, doesn't mean they're highly intelligent, that when they hold out, for the most part, that almost guarantees them to get some type of injury to start the season. It invariably always happens, and you think these guys will learn, but they think they're indestructible. And I guess that's mentality that these guys have to have in order to play the game that they love to play. So, anyway, let's move on to the news and notes of what's going on in the NFL. Now, I don't even know where to start here. Let's start with this one. This is a, to me, it's a head-scratcher, but it also gives me a sign of desperation. I'm going to down south, where one team with a very good quarterback decided to let all four of their starting wide receivers or their wide receivers that have caught the most balls over the last few years, including their all-pro wide receiver, walk. And now they have, I think, four or five wide receivers who caught a total of five passes on their roster. I'm talking about the Carolina Panthers. Not with any named wide receiver on their team for Cam Newton. The only viable pass catcher right now is Greg Olsen, who's a tight end. So what do they go out and do? Which to me is a desperation move, and this guy's probably on his last leg. They signed wide receiver, and I can't discount the guy, but I can because he's not really that good. Wide receiver Jerick Cotchery to a 2-year contract. Now they got Marvin McNutt, Tavares King, and Jerick Cotchery, who's best suited as a number three option, and you know, I guess either the Panthers have some grand scheme, a plan, or whatever, to draft some wide receivers, which there is a plethora of wide receivers in this draft, or trade to get a wide receiver. You got me. I mean, they have a plethora of running backs. Maybe they're going to do a swap, a running back for a wide receiver or who, whatever. But, Jeff, you let go four of your wide receivers, the four that have participated the most throughout the years in games. You have very inexperienced wide receivers. You got a Cam Newton. Now he doesn't have anybody to throw to that he's familiar with. And he's going to be out because he's had surgery on his ankle, and he's supposed to be out for 4 months. So that's going to put him and his wide receivers, whoever they are, behind because they won't get a chance to work with each other because Cam Newton won't be able to really make a go of it until probably June, July, and maybe going into August. Jeff, before we go any further, talk to me about the Carolina Panthers and what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I hate to say Steve Smith is probably past his prime, but that is a tough, scrappy guy, and he's the kind of guy, I think it, when he's 100 years old in a rocking chair, he'd probably say, I could still play in the NFL, you know what I mean? And you know what? If anybody could, it's him, you know, but the thing is, it's tough. This is the hard thing about a salary cap, you know. You stick with a player too long, it could really hurt the team. I think he's got interest from other teams, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's got some good football left. Now, Jerick Cotchery is an interesting player. He was the third receiver for Pittsburgh last year, had a very respectable 46 catches, and he had 10 touchdown receptions last year. That's very good. You know, I could see him in one of, you know, like those really deep fantasy leagues where any any skill player with a pulse is on a roster, and a guy like that being valuable in that kind of league. The only thing is with a guy like that, who I'll call a Mr. Touchdown, a guy who most of his production comes on touchdowns, if they don't score a touchdown, then they're useless for you, you know, because they're not going to get enough touches to be relevant. But, I mean, Kotchery, he had a 1,000-yard season with the Jets. That was a long time ago. I don't think the Jets should have got rid of him a few years ago. And it cracked me up because, you know, back then the Jets were known as, you know, like a bunch of bad boys. They got one guy who stays out of trouble, you know, and is a, you know, leader in the community, and they drop him like a hot rock, you know.
Yeah.
I guess he wasn't the kind of guy they were looking for. And, you know, he went to Pittsburgh, and you know, he's a solid guy. You know, I think he might not do it often, but he still returns, and it's good to have a backup returner. You know, you know, he's doing that a lot early in his career with the Jets, because you know, in case your regular return man gets hurt, it's always good to have another guy. And you know, you know, the thing is, you know, Cam Newton can't throw the ball to himself. I mean, you know, Kotchery's a good guy to have on the team, but he's not a starting wide receiver. I mean, it makes you wonder what Carolina has up their sleeve. I mean, you know, they could draft somebody, but you don't know how the draft is going to play out, and you don't want to show your hand like that and make it look like you're definitely going to take a wide receiver. And who knows, maybe they might, you know, I don't know if there's any big, I don't think there's any big name free agents left for wide receivers, but I think, isn't there a later cut in June where some guys get cut in June, but now it was the big cut because there's some roster bonuses, so that's why, you know, some guys have been cut. But it's been an interesting offseason in the NFL.
Well, speaking of another interesting thing, Chicago Bears, they've gone into some transition, and a mainstay in the Chicago Bears has been Devin Hester, who's done fantastic things in the return game, they released Devin Hester. And Lance Briggs was on NFL.com, and they asked him a straightforward question about Devin Hester, and quite naturally, he's not going to be on the air in front of millions of people and bash his coaching in the organization. So he diplomatically said that he wished that Devin Hester didn't get cut. But Devin Hester landed on his feet because he signed a 3-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to bring my esteemed other co-host in here, him being black from the D.C. area. Black, welcome, my brother. How you doing there?
What is going on here? This is the opening day of March Madness, and you're talking football?
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Just relax. Relax. I want to get these. I want to get the couple things, head scratchers, out of here. I talked about the first part of what we talked about. Now I want to talk about Devin Hester, and one more thing I wanted to talk about, which is a head scratcher for me, and then we're going to move on to the March Madness. One thing at a time, my brother. We're going to get there. I guess you don't have any comments about Devin Hester. Am I right about that?
Is Matty Slush still the quarterback in Atlanta?
Excuse me?
Is Matty Slush still the quarterback in Atlanta?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, he is.
Well, there's nothing really I can say about Devin Hester there, my friend.
Okay. Let's move on to this. Now, this is I didn't see this coming at all. This is really a head scratcher for me, and I got to talk about it because it has to do with my team,
Yes, please bring it up because
that's what I'm talking about, head scratches. Now my team, and if people who don't know who my team is, it's the Houston Texans, have made a signing of a quarterback, have acquired a quarterback, but it's not any big name quarterback. They signed
quarterback of the future.
Ryan Fitzpatrick to a 2-year deal. Are you kidding me? I don't understand it. I don't know where this came from. I can understand. Let me put it this way. I can understand it's part of it being that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a very smart quarterback, even though he doesn't have a lot of ability, and he can mentor a very young quarterback that I imagine that the Houston Texans are going to draft, whether it's in the first round or second round or whatever. And then occasionally step in and take over if the young quarterback happens to not do well. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't know.
90% of that move was the text you sent me about weed. As soon as you sent me that text about weed, and the wheels were in motion down in Houston. And this is what happened. Don't fool, always bet on black, my friend.
Well, since you said that, Jeff, Ryan Fitzpatrick to the Houston Texans.
You hit the nail on the head. I mean, the thing is, you know, Schaub had his run at Houston. It's over. He's not going to stick around to mentor Teddy Bridgewater or anybody else. But, you know, Fitzpatrick, and I'm sure this must have been discussed, is, you know, an adequate backup and probably would be willing to mentor a first-round draft pick rookie. So, you know, it's not a bad acquisition. You know, I mean, they know who he is. He knows who he is, and you know, he's not a bum. You know.
Okay. Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, Jeff, but Ryan Fitzpatrick.
When Khalil Black goes number one, you will have Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's your quarterback.
You know, I mean, I can name backup quarterbacks much worse than that guy. I mean, there's some of these third-string guys bounce around the league from 10 years.
That's true.
And then you finally see him in a game and you cringe. And,
yep.
You know, I mean, I've seen guys like that. I mean, the Giants used to have a backup quarterback who was almost 300 pounds, Jared Lorenzen. And the thing is, because Eli doesn't miss a lot, you know, I think they just signed Lorenzen because he was like a sideshow guy. I'm not kidding. He lost weight when he joined the Giants. He was down to 280. He played around 300 pounds at quarterback, and he played at Kentucky in the Southeast Conference, and the fans had all these great nicknames for him, the Hefty Lefty, the Pillsbury Throw Boy, J-Load, you know, the guy led the SEC in nicknames. And I remember, and sometimes these backup quarterbacks, you hear how good they are. You never see them play. You hear how good they are. And then you see him play, and there was a guy, he was in the league a while. He finally got a chance, Jonathan Quinn, and that guy was one of the worst quarterbacks ever.
Yep.
I think he got exposed, you know. But some of these guys, you know, based on practice, training camp, and spot duty, get Matt Flynn, boom. Become a millionaire based on that, you know? You know, with a two-game millionaire, you know? It's like even, you know, he did have a couple good years down in Houston. Schaub had one good game in Atlanta, and it was against New England. And next thing you know, Houston traded for him. And then talk about timing, about a month later, Michael Vick got busted for the dogfighting.
Yep.
Imagine how things could have been different if they had Schaub still in Atlanta and they could have played Schaub that season. I think they went with Joey Harrington and somebody else who wasn't very good that season. But then say what you want about Matty Slush. He has been good and stable for that franchise when they needed a quarterback. I mean, okay, he can't win the playoff games, but at least he can get you there.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go this way now. As people know, and I had said earlier before Black came on the air, today is the first today is officially spring. Tomorrow is officially the first day of spring. Well, because of today, the NCAA has started their March Madness. Basically, they had two play-in games yesterday, but this is really officially is when the March Madness starts, and it has started with a bang. It's always typically a lower seed takes out a higher seed, and it's happened in the South bracket. Now, this is what I want to do, okay? I'm going to go down each one of these brackets because we haven't done this. We didn't do it last week, and it's starting now. And I'm going to get you guys' opinions on who you think and who's going to win and who's going to upset, and give me your best shot at what you think. I'm looking at my brackets right now, so I'm going to go and go start talking at the South with the number one. No, I'm going to start with the West. Okay, I'm not going to go to the upset yet. I'm going to go to the West, where Arizona is the number one seed. They play tomorrow. Quite naturally, they play Weber State. I don't see them having any problem with Weber State. It's in the West. They're going to have a lot of fans there. That's in the West. I'm saying Arizona is going to be a no-brainer here. The interesting game that I want to talk about, one of the interesting games I want to talk about, is a pretty interesting game because they're pretty evenly matched, is Gonzaga versus Oklahoma State. And before I go to that route, let me bring in Mr. FSP and welcome him to the show. How you doing there, Vic?
Of course I'm doing marvelous. Marvelous.
Oh, boy. Okay, no problem. We're in the West bracket. We just started talking about the March Madness. And going to the 8-9 game, because the 1-16 game is a no-brainer to me. Going to the 8-9 game, which is going to be very interesting because, like I said, these games are usually very close and they can go either way. One of them did in the South bracket, but we'll get to that. Gonzaga versus Oklahoma State. In my bracket, I went with Oklahoma State. I'm going to go to Black first, and Victor, then Jeff. And give me an idea or your assessment of that game if you can. If not, you can just pass so we can go on to the next person. Talk to me, Black.
I haven't seen much of either team this season at all. In fact, I haven't seen Gonzaga play once. I haven't seen Oklahoma State play once this season either. But I feel comfortable picking Gonzaga.
Okay.
Same way I felt comfortable picking Dayton.
Well, I think you probably might want to change that, especially since Delaware State got handled, or Delaware got handled. Your alma mater, Delaware State or Delaware, which one is?
Hey, we're in the South. We're in the West bracket. We're talking about Gonzaga and Oklahoma State.
I know. I was just trying to give Black a little ribbing here. First of all, you have to be smart. And when I say smart, I mean you have to be that basketball player, smart, and pick Oklahoma State in this game. They've had their ups and downs all season long. But I think that young kid, smart, has got his head on his shoulders. He's going to carry this team a couple rounds. I don't think they're going to go far, but they're going to get out of this first and second round. Unlike the freaking Ohio State guy.
Well, when that comes, we'll talk about that. Right now, we're in the West. Okay. I keep emphasizing that we're in the West.
Someone sounds a little bit better.
So I want to get your opinion on Gonzaga and Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I just said Oklahoma State.
Okay, Jeff.
You know, I know Oklahoma State was ranked a lot higher earlier in the year. I don't know much about Gonzaga, but I think Smart has actually smartened up and has been playing well lately. So I'd probably take them over Gonzaga if I had to make a pick.
And it seems like there's always, and we'll get to it, it seems like there's always an upset in the 5-12 game. Oklahoma is ranked 5 in the West bracket, and North Dakota State is ranked 12th. They're playing right now, about a little more than 8 minutes left in the game, and Oklahoma happens to be winning 19-18. Maybe the score's changed since then. Black, talk to me. Oklahoma, North Dakota State. You got an idea?
I have no idea about North Dakota State either or Oklahoma. But you say it's a close game, so I'll roll with the underdog. I'll take North Dakota State in that one.
Victor.
Boomer Sooner, my soon-to-be alma mater. 24-21 with 5:50 left in the first quarter.
First half. They play halves.
Yeah, first half. Oklahoma's going to win this game. North Dakota State is good in football, not basketball.
Jeff.
Yeah, wow. I'll be honest. I thought North Dakota State was Division II. I'm not kidding. I guess they played. I'm not. No disrespect to the nice people of North Dakota, but I aren't they Division II in football? But I guess it's possible to be different divisions in different sports. I mean, but not that common. But it does happen occasionally. So. Yeah.
All right. Let's
sorry,
move,
don't know
let's
much
move
about
on
that
to the. Let's move on to I think he's the former coach of Michigan. Now he's coaching in San Diego State. Number 4 San Diego State against number 13 New Mexico State. Black.
Oh, you're talking about my guy Steve Fisher there at San Diego State. I never bet against that man. I roll with San Diego State.
I feel the same way. Victor.
San Diego State, Rhode Aztecs.
Okay. Then we move on to.
What about Jeff?
Ditto.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ditto.
Yes, Jeff. Ditto. Okay,
ditto.
Jeff. Let's move on to the RG3's alma mater, ranked 6th in this bracket against number 11 Nebraska. Now, in my opinion, I was hedging back and forth going, and I was thinking about going with Nebraska, but I settled on Baylor. I think I made a mistake. Black, talk to me.
Another two teams that I haven't seen this year. I like the Baylor Bears, so I'll roll with the Baylor Bears.
Victor?
Incorrect. I love RG3, but Nebraska will surprise. They're a lot better than folks have given them credit for. I think the Big Ten was a lot better this year than folks have given them credit for. So
please, when Ohio State goes out first round, the Big Ten is not good. Get out of here with that.
Delaware went out first round too. But anyway,
what is this Delaware State?
I'm about to say the same thing. What is your thing about Delaware? Delaware, Delaware University. Delaware University happens to be my son, one of my son's alma mater, but it's not a big basketball power. I don't even know why you're even going there.
I thought that Black went to Dell State or Dell. That's what I thought.
I went to Delaware State, not Delaware.
Oh, well, so what? They're still the same state. All right.
Oh, boy.
And I want to make one more point.
Go ahead.
Calling them FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com hotline with winners, winners, players, players. Go place your wages. No listen to these fools. Listen to FSP. Get your parlays in while the winning is good and it's easy money. Easy money. That's all.
Okay. All right, Jeff, talk to me. Baylor, Nebraska.
Don't know much. Probably I'd go with Nebraska if I had to make a pick.
Okay. Now we move on to this guy's been much ballyhooed next Larry Bird and whatever. Number 3, Creighton against number 14, Louisiana. Black.
Oh, man, I got to go with Creighton, man. Big East Conference in the building. I got to go with Dougie D and the Creighton Blue Jay.
Victor?
I was talking to my wife. I didn't even hear the match. I'm sorry.
Victor, are you with me today?
Tell your wife that we're not talking about Delaware State any longer. They're in the MEAC. They're in the NCAA tournament.
Whatever.
Creighton against Louisiana. Talk to me, Victor. Stay with me here.
Oh, easy. Creighton. Be a Gale for a change. Be a Gale.
Okay. Jeff?
Well, Creighton's against Louisiana State?
No, yeah.
Louisiana Lafayette.
Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, I guess I'd go with Creighton. I'll tell you, there's so many schools in this tournament, you can barely keep them straight.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, let me put it this way. The next set of teams, they've already played already. Oregon, number 7, Oregon, against number 10, BYU, crushed them by 19, 87-68. So Oregon pushes on. After that, Wisconsin, who's rated 2 in this bracket, crushed American University, 75-35. So it's going to be Oregon versus Wisconsin, number 7 in this bracket versus number 2 in this bracket. I'm going to Jeff. Who moves on to the next after that?
I'll tell you. A lot of people are picking Wisconsin for the Final Four. I'd have to go with them.
Victor.
A lot of people want to give the guard at Wisconsin some grief. I like Oregon. I like the way they play. Anything out of the Pac-12, they like to move fast. Wisconsin can adapt. So I'm going to go with Wisconsin for the fact that they can adapt to your game.
Black.
Oh, damn, I thought he was going to pick the other team.
Yeah, right.
I'll roll with Wisconsin. My goodness.
Whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, we've gotten so in that bracket. Okay. Let's move on to the because I can't move on to the next ones because they haven't been played yet. So let's move on to one of the most controversial brackets this year, in my opinion, because this bracket is loaded, in my opinion, with some serious players and teams that I don't know what the NCAA decision committee was thinking about, but there's a lot of teams that are in the top 10 or top 15 that are going to get knocked off and have absolutely no shot compared to these other brackets of getting into the Sweet 16 or even the Elite 8, much less the Final Four. I'm talking about the Midwest, where number 1 Wichita State is the number 1 seed. Now, quite naturally, I'm not even going to go to this first game because they play number 16 Cal Poly, which I think they're going to breeze past with no problem. I'm talking about, and like I said, the 8-9 games are always some nail-biting games for the most part because they're so evenly matched, and this one I think is an extremely must-watch game. Number 8 Kentucky in the Midwest bracket with against number 9 Kansas State. I'm going to go to Jeff first, then Victor, and then Black. Give me your opinion. Who wins this?
Yeah. You know, this is what makes it hard. Is a team like Kentucky, they got different guys every year. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, one and done. But they keep bringing in studs. I guess this year's group hasn't distinguished themselves like some of the recent groups. I'd still give them a slight edge over Kansas State.
I like Kansas State in the matchup because Kansas State is a very good team. However, it's the Calipari effect. He will not go out in round one. So, Kentucky.
Black.
Yeah, I'll roll with Kentucky.
Okay. Myself, I picked Kansas State. I know Kentucky is everybody's pick because they've been playing better lately, but I have a feeling that Kansas State is going to knock out Kentucky. Now, I could be wrong, but I took a shot there and to make something different in my bracket than the consensus pick, so I took Kansas State. Anyway, let's move to this game, which is in progress right now with it's going to halftime. Number 5, St. Louis, is trailing number 12, NC State, 30-26. Jeff, who advances to this one?
You know, it's hard to pick against an ACC school against some small school like St. Louis, you know. So probably go with NC State to finish it off.
Victor?
NC State got lobbied for by Mike Krzyzewski. That's enough to tell me. Go ahead and pick the Pelicans. St. Louis gets the victory.
Black?
I'll roll with NC State.
Okay. Now, like I said, you got Wichita State in here. You got Kentucky. Kansas State is no slouch. And this believe me, I have no idea. This team is rated, I think, in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken. Why this team, and he lambasted the coach, lambasted the selection committee, because in this bracket, he's number 4. Number 4. I'm talking about the Louisville Cardinals are playing, and he lambasted because they're playing number 13, Manhattan, who happens to be the coach happens to be used to be a ball boy, used to be assistant coach to under Rick Pitino, and he's got to play him in the first round. I'm picking Louisville. I know you got all you guys are probably picking Louisville, but you guys ain't got any comments as to first to pick and why Louisville was picked number 4 in this bracket.
I believe the reason Louisville was picked number 4 was because their out-of-conference schedule was so weak. I mean, yeah, they could have beaten better teams, but their non-conference opponents were really low-level opponents. And I think in recent years, the tournament committee doesn't want to reward schools for padding their record with a lot of pushover games.
Okay. Victor?
I don't care. Louisville. Manhattan's a good team, but I think this is a murderer's row region, and Louisville could have been number 2 in any other conference. But it's a tough row to hoe. I think Michigan you haven't gotten there yet.
Exactly.
But, I haven't said nothing, whatever. But, you know, it's just tough. It's a tough road to hoe, that's all. But Louisville has its victory.
The ball boy is a nice story, but they'll get rolled. Capital Classic alum that I interviewed, Martha, Trez, Herrera, watch out for him for Louisville. He's going to have a big tournament.
All right, let's move on to the 6 versus 11 matchup. Tennessee. Number 11, Tennessee versus number 6. And I didn't realize this. UMass is rated number 6. Jeff, who advances in here?
Yeah, I didn't even realize that UMass was playing well enough. Are they still in the Atlantic 10? That's the problem. You can't even keep track of the conferences now. Yeah,
yep.
I mean, you can't base on history, but, you know, Tennessee is from a much stronger conference. I'm not sure about this. So.
Victor?
Go Vols! Go Vols! Lock it up. Only reason I want to say is because UMass is a very good team, and yes, I believe they are in the American Coastal Conference, whatever it is. The Vols, they have something to prove. They took care of business, and now they're in the tournament, and they're going to advance in an upset.
Black.
I'm going to run with UMass and look out for another Capital Class guy interview for UMass, the point guard, number 4, Jabari Hines.
Okay. All right, like I said, and like Victor reiterated, this is a murderer's row bracket. And number 3, Duke, and this is should be a no-brainer, against number 14, Mercer. Jeff.
Oh, yeah, got to go with Duke.
Victor?
Dookie.
Black.
Yes, watch out for the good young Quinn Cook, the DMV product, and Marcus Thornton as well as Duke. Knocks these guys off.
All right, this is always an interesting matchup, too. The number 7 seed against the number 10 seed. And we have a pretty good matchup here, number 7 Texas against number 10 Arizona State. Jeff, later on tonight.
Don't know much, but Texas definitely seems to have upgraded that basketball program. But, ASU also has some good recent history. I guess I'd go with Texas.
Texas is, they're an up-and-down team. Arizona State, the Sun Devils, again, coming out that Pac-10 or Pac-12, was like the running gun. I picked Texas on my bracket, but on the show, I'm going to go ahead and pick ASU in an upset because of the style of play.
Now, what sense does that make?
I'm trying to win $1 billion. This ain't winning me no $1 billion, but, you know, I can go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com and place the ASU to cover and still win.
Start talking to your wife and stand behind your pick. I'll roll with the Sun Devils.
Well, that's what I picked. That's what I picked. 7 against 10, I picked Arizona State. And the last part of this bracket, the 2 versus the 15, it's at the end of the first half, and Michigan, number 2 Michigan, is comfortably ahead of Wofford, 34-20. I think there's probably going to be a consensus that number 2 Michigan is going to win this game, but I'll go through it anyway. Jeff, talk to me.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm usually pretty good about colleges. I don't even know where Wofford is. I mean, that sounds like an NIT school to me.
Yeah, it does. I don't know where it's at either, Jeff, to tell you the truth. Victor.
Well, right now it's 40-33 with 9 minutes and 12 seconds left in the second half. Wofford is 1-for-15 in three-point shooting, but they've had some good shots. They just haven't been able to knock them down. I don't think Michigan's going to cover the spread on this one. But I think they're going to pull out the victory. But you go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com and play some wagers. They do in-game wagering. That's all.
Black.
I'm rolling with Michigan.
I know, Black. I know, I understand, Black. Anyway, all right, let's go to the South, okay? Victor's been chomping at the bit. And I'm going to satisfy that hunger for him. We're going to go to the number 1 team in the nation right now, who's already played and handily handled pesky Albany, Florida, has advanced 67-55. And like I said, the these 8-9 games can be crazy, but number 9 Pittsburgh manhandled number 8 Colorado. It wasn't even close. They damn near doubled them almost, not quite, but they spanked them pretty good, 77-48. So Pittsburgh moves on against Florida. Before we move on from that, Jeff, Florida against number 9 Pittsburgh.
Go with the hot team, Florida.
Victor?
Upset Pittsburgh, upset. Upset Pittsburgh, upset. Donovan said today he was very disappointed in his team's performance. He says there's just something not right with his team. You don't, I mean, I understand you have that feeling, but you don't say that in an interview right after the game. And Pittsburgh's on a roll. Pittsburgh is on a roll. But I picked Florida in my bracket. What up, Steph? Pittsburgh.
Black, talk to me. Talk to me, Black.
What the hell is going on here tonight?
Trying to get my goodness. Hey, I'm trying to get people to go to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.
The Waffler in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm trying to get them to go to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com.
Black talking, I can't take it.
Taylor, I will go with Pittsburgh, but I'm a Big East guy. You know that.
Okay. That's a bold pick. Beating the number 1 team in the nation, but I get laughed at.
He just gets, that's a bold pick. Really?
Yeah, but let me put it this way, Victor. This
I'm
is what you said.
I'm not waffling, Mr. Gardner.
Yes. Yes, I picked Florida in my bracket, but I'm on this show. I'm taking Pittsburgh. Come on.
Hey, I'm trying to get people to the site.
Yeah,
okay?
No,
waffles are for breakfast, sir. Waffles are for breakfast.
Oh God. Anyway, let's move on to the 5-12 game, which is number 5 VCU against number 12 SF Austin. Who rolls there, Jeff?
I think Stephen F. Austin is another one of these schools who gets in because the tournament is so large. So got to go with Commonwealth.
Victor?
Shaka.
What? Victor, are you losing your mind or what?
No. Shaka Smart, VCU. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, my.
That wasn't me. That was
Black. Black, talk to me. VCU or
VCU,
Austin.
The Havoc of VCU. The Havoc of VCU.
Okay. All right. Then we go down in the same in the South bracket. Number 4, UCLA. Against number 13, Tulsa. And I know Tulsa, in years back, has been pretty tough to outside of the tournament. Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah. I think, though, if I had to pick over UCLA.
Victor?
Pac-12, UCLA. Go.
Black?
I'm going with Mr. Troy Aikman's alma mater, the Bruins.
Okay, that's what I picked in my bracket. I picked VCU and UCLA to move on. All right, now this, you know, I started to go to Dayton, but I thought Ohio State was. I started to go. I said, you know, this 6-11 game, and usually in a 6-11 game or an 8-9 game, especially a 6-11 or 5-12. There's usually an upset, and I said to myself, you know what? Ohio State's been playing well. I don't think Dayton can stay with them, and it was a very close game, probably surprised a lot of people quite naturally.
Not,
it was a one-point
not really.
Game.
Not really.
Well,
everyone knows that Dayton is the best team in Ohio, my friend.
Okay. Well, on this day, in this game, they proved to be. They moved on. They win the 6-11 matchup. Dayton beat 11 seed in this bracket. to beat Ohio State. I had Ohio State. In fact, I had Ohio State going to the Final Four. I had him going into the Elite Eight. I'm sorry, I had him going to the Elite Eight, not the Final Four.
Wow.
And so that knocked me out of a couple of that side of the bracket. But that's okay.
Let me ask you something. Did you think Greg Oden was suiting up today?
Well, what can I tell you? I thought Ohio State was a little – well, they only lost by a point. So, I mean, honest on it, they still lost. But
you should never, ever put your trust in Aaron Kraft. I've been preaching that all week to these Ohio State guys.
Yeah,
and it proved right today.
I should have talked to you before I decided to make that pick, tell you the truth. Anyway, the next one in the bracket, in the South bracket, number three, Syracuse, who at one point was number one. Rated in the country, they pull off a 24-point win over number 14 Western Michigan, and Syracuse moves on. In the same bracket, number 7 New Mexico versus number 10 Stanford, who can be tough at times, but in my opinion, this is New Mexico's game to lose. Talk to me, Jeff.
I wonder how exact these bracket rankings are, because Stanford plays in a much better conference than University of New Mexico. That would lead me to give them a bit of an edge.
Okay, Victor, you're up near that way.
Pac-12, Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked New
okay.
Mexico State in some of my brackets. Some of them, not all of them.
Black.
Since the consensus of Stanford, I'll roll with New Mexico, my friend.
Okay. There wasn't consensus because I went with New Mexico, so I'm looking for them to move on. Number 2, Kansas, against number 15, Eastern Kentucky. This is probably a no-brainer, but it's part of the brackets, so I got to ask. Jeff.
I think Kansas has the diaper dandies, as Dickie V would call them, so I got to go with them.
Okay. Victor?
Come back to me, please.
Black. Man, this is rough. This is rough.
Rock, chop, Jayhawk.
Okay.
Okay.
Victor.
I'm ready. I'm a Kansas
Thank you.
Guy.
Okay. All right, before I go any further, since we do have one bracket that in the South besides Florida and Pittsburgh, that's going to be a matchup. We know who Dayton and Syracuse is going to match up. Between those two, Jeff, Dayton, Syracuse.
I'd like to see Dayton stay hot and make it to the Sweet 16. And I know they're a good team, but I hate Syracuse because they were one of the founding teams of that Big East, and they were one of the teams that killed the Big East when they left ACC. So, maybe I'm going with my heart, not my head. Dayton will win one more, go on a nice little run.
Talk to me, Black. I know you don't like Syracuse. Talk to me.
I can't stand the Tangerines. They'll get screwed here by the best team in Ohio, the Dayton Flyers.
Victor, you with me?
Of course I'm with you.
yeah.
Dayton's going to shoot the lights out of that 2-3 zone. They will. Syracuse, I only have Syracuse advancing in one of my brackets. So Dayton is going to take it.
Okay. Wow. I'm impressed. All right. Since we finished that South bracket, let's move on to the last bracket, which happens to be the East bracket, where number 1 Virginia tops the that bracket. playing number 16, Coastal Carolina. I'm not even going to even ask you guys this because I'm pretty sure the consensus is that Virginia is going to pass them with no problem. So I'm going to move to the 8-9 game, another 8-9 game, which is going to be played tomorrow around 7 o'clock. This should be a very good game. Memphis versus number 8 Memphis against number 9 George Washington. I took George Washington because I think George Washington is playing well, and I think they can get past number 8 Memphis. Jeff?
Don't know.
Okay. Victor?
Well, I tell you what, if you go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, you can bet as low as $1. As low as $1. And I really, really don't see George Washington winning this game. They're coming out of the American Conference. I forget the actual name of it. But I don't see them winning this game. Not at all. At all.
Black.
I got to go with the home team, man. I'm in D.C. I can't go against G.W. I got to pick G.W., man.
No,
okay.
I like G.W. too, but they're not them. What's the
just be quiet, Waffler. We don't know who you pick on your bracket. Sure.
Wow.
All right.
And I got to say, look out for the best six-man in the country in that Virginia game that you passed. Another Capital Classic alumnus I interviewed, the young Simba, Justin Anderson. UVA is going to go very far in this tournament.
Okay. I have them going to the Elite Eight, so I think they are, Black. Now, I heard some analysis of this next matchup, and they only pulled it out by 4 points, but that's because I think the defense of Cincinnati – clamped down, but the offense, this is a very offensive-minded team in Harvard. Number 5, Cincinnati loses to number 12, Harvard, and Harvard moves on. Then we have number 4, Michigan State, who was all over. Now, this is up Victor's alley here because he's been talking about it over and over. Now, Michigan State wins 93 over number 13, Delaware, who's only scored 78. So we have that bracket, that two brackets settled. So number 12, Harvard, versus number 4, Michigan State. Who moves on? Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think Michigan State is 21-1 when they have a full squad. They only lost one game when all of their players are healthy. So with that being said, Jeff, Harvard versus Michigan State.
Oh, I mean, I really admire and root for the good academic schools like Harvard, but I hate to say, clock's going to strike midnight for them against Michigan State.
Victor.
Harvard has two outstanding guards. Not only can they defend, they can rebound, and they can penetrate and score. I like Michigan State. I picked Michigan State, but this is my upset alert.
Oh, here we go again.
No. I'm picking Michigan State, but this is an upset special.
You have no conviction, Victor. Why are you picking the – let me ask you something before I go to Black. This is about the fourth one that you said you picked the opposite team that you're picking here now. Why? Why not make it, if you're trying to have a fill your bracket out with teams that a lot of people won't pick? Why don't you do that on your brackets versus just calling them out on this show?
No, listen, you must understand the methodology here.
Okay.
I've already done my bracket. I've done my bracket. Everybody's done their bracket. That's going to do that. So there is no changing what you got because they're locked
in. I understand that. I know that.
However, in certain cases, such as this Harvard versus Hughes matchup, right? We're talking about Harvard and Syracuse, right? I see I see a big chance at an upset, only because I didn't realize how good Harvard was until I saw them. I saw that their student athletes are real student athletes and not just students. You know, Jeff made the point that he roots for the upscale or the academic schools. Well, Harvard has that. They have academics as well as two very good guards that can play in summer leagues on street ball and still talk you and debate you to death. So that's why I'm a little worried about that matchup.
Okay, Black.
I'm going with Tommy Amaka, and I'm going with Harvard.
Okay. All right, number six, North Carolina. This is a very intriguing matchup against I think they won the Big East. Number 11, Providence. Jeff.
Yeah, don't know. I usually root for the Big East, but that doesn't mean they're going to win, so don't know.
Okay, Victor.
I picked Providence in an upset in all of my brackets, except for one. But the thing is, Providence has something. They have something, and, you know, it's a tenacity. It's a way of playing. I think they're going to advance. I think they're going to knock out North Carolina in the first round.
Okay. Black.
You know my picks. Big East guy here, you know my pick.
Okay. I picked North Carolina to win that, but who's to know? Number three, Iowa State against number 14, North Carolina Central. I think that's North Carolina Central. Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if I've ever heard of North Carolina Central. And I'll be honest, you know, but I've heard of a lot of schools, and Iowa State, you know, that's a solid Big 12 school. Go with them.
Okay. Victor?
Iowa State, Final or Elite Eight?
Black.
Because I'm a MEAC guy, and I've been in North Carolina Central, I'm rolling with North Carolina Central.
Oh, okay. All right, and this is very interesting. This is extremely interesting. It's a 7-10 game, and at the end of the second half, Connecticut, who's the number 7 seed, against number 10, St. Joseph, it's tied up at 70. Number 7, Connecticut, is fighting for his life to move on. We don't know who won this yet. Jeff, who do you like? You know it's 70-70, right? 70-70 right now.
Wow.
Overtime. It already went to overtime, guys. Already went to overtime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. It's in overtime. I know that.
Oh, okay.
In St. Joe's, there's more than one St. Joe's, but that's the one in Philly, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Give a slight edge to Connecticut. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Victor.
If I'm not mistaken, St. Joe's or was it St. Mary's that already beat Connecticut twice this year, and they're going to do it again. Unfortunately for UConn, they're going to have an early exit.
Talk to me, Black. I know you're a Big East guy.
Let me see. We're in overtime. I'm a Big East guy, but in this matchup, is going to come down to coaching. On the left hand, you got Kevin Ollie. The right hand, you got my man Phil Martelli. I'm going to roll with Phil Martelli in St. Joe.
Okay. All right. Then we have number 2, Villanova against Milwaukee. Quite naturally, I think everybody's picking Villanova. Am I right about that, Jeff?
Yeah, it's nice to see them playing good ball again. But, yeah, definitely Villanova, the Wildcats.
Victor?
Yeah.
Black?
Villanova.
Okay. All right, we're in overtime, but that's okay. One of the last things I want to do is this. I have my final four, and I also have the final two and who I think is going to be crowned the champion. My final four is Florida, Arizona, Iowa State, and Louisville, with Louisville and Florida meeting each other, with Louisville coming out victorious. Talk to me, Jeff.
Oh, that's, you know, I didn't do a bracket this year, but and that's my loss. I usually like to do one. One year I did everything. I did NCAA, I did the women's, I did the NIT. That was my big year. Yeah, I think Florida, that's tough. And Wisconsin, I'd like to see Wichita make it to the Final Four. I don't know if they will. And in the East, that's a tough man, and they put these schools all over. And you know, who taught these guys geography? I'm serious. You got teams playing their games like 2,000 miles away. I guess UVA in the East. I can't pick.
Okay. Victor, final four and final two, and who wins it all?
Okay, I'll start back with you. I got UVA winning it all. My final two are Michigan and UVA. Final four, just add Arizona or
who's in the or and
no,
or.
No. I'm looking at my bracket, guy. Can I look at my bracket? I'm just looking at my bracket.
Making more adjustments as we speak.
Yeah, but
whatever. Don't hate me because I'm smart. That's smart, man.
You came on here railing about Delaware. How smart was that? I went to Delaware State, buddy.
Hey, but Jerry, one of Jerry's kids went to.
I'm pinning on Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Black. Thank you. Oh, man.
Okay. All right. Here's what I got. All right. I got UVA and Michigan. Final two, I got UVA winning. Final four, I have UCLA, Arizona at it. But I'm thinking about changing Arizona to Wisconsin. So that's what I got.
Oh, my God. Black, talk to me.
I don't have a bracket in front of me, so I can't see the regions. But I want UVA to make it to the Final Four. I wouldn't mind seeing the Shockers. I don't know if they're in the same region or not, but I'll take Wichita State making a run as well. Number two, so anybody's guess.
Okay. Well, I never count out Rick Pitino, so that's why I haven't been winning all. Anyway, we come to the end of the show, people. As always, I'm going to do go round robin. Last comments before we get out of here. Going to go to Black first, then Victor, then Jeff and myself, and then we get out of here. Last comments, my man.
It's sad to say, but I wish I was at the ball right now. I would play the Evil Empire music, but it looks like the Evil Empire is back. Brandon LaFell, Brandon Browner, Darrell Revis, Tom Brady should have an excellent season this year.
Okay. Victor?
All right. Okay. May the force be with you, because I am your father, Mr. Taylor.
What?
The baseball gods have spoken. I am better than you. I will always be better than you, and we shall see. But as far as this NCAA tournament, I think it's going to be a very good tournament. And very exciting. And just go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com where winners win and players play, so place your wagers and win today. It's a Game of Thrones, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Game of Thrones.
Jeff.
Well, the big news in the NBA and in the New York area was Phil Jackson becoming GM of the Knicks.
President.
I like Phil Jackson a lot. President, I'm sorry. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Phil Jackson a lot. Respect him a lot. He's a great coach. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been an executive before. And, I think the Knicks need a new owner. And you know what I wish the Knicks would do? Instead of making these flashy moves, I'd rather see them try to find the next Phil Jackson. You know what I mean? Because before he got the job in Chicago, I mean, this is going back a long time, he was coaching Albany in the CBA. And whoever decided to hire him for the Bulls job made a great hire. But, this is the kind of move that the Knicks make. And Phil doesn't have a lot to work with as far as talent on the team, as far as draft picks and salary cap room. And unfortunately, I think it might mean the end of Mike Woodson. But I think he'll do all right because he might get the job at Indiana University. But, it's odd also because Phil Jackson likes to talk to the media, and that's the one thing that the Knicks owner doesn't like. Like I said, the problem's the owner. But everybody's talking about Phil, and they couldn't keep the camera off him last night because he was, close to the court watching them play Indiana last night.
Let me tell you New York guys something. I don't want to hear any hanky-panky, any collusion between Phil Jackson and Jenny Buss.
What do you mean?
I don't want to see Carmelo traded for a ham sandwich out to L.A. That's what I mean.
Well, speaking of her, she was sitting next to Phil as that game was being played. So.
Oh, my goodness.
She was sitting. Yes, she was. She was sitting next to Phil as that game was being played.
That was her? That was some skeezer chewing gum with her mouth open all night. That's her?
Yes. Yes. That's a do better.
Adam Silver, NBA commiss, get on this. Get on this, please.
With that being said, right now, let me refresh my computer right now. With 212 in overtime, number 7 Connecticut is leading 75-73 over St. Joe's. So it's going to be a nail biter, and Connecticut's clawing, trying to advance. And have another Big East matchup, Connecticut with Villanova, if Villanova gets past Milwaukee. Anyway, with that being said, I want to thank you guys for hanging with me tonight. As always, people, stay tuned next week where we'll be talking about news and notes of whatever's been happening over the last week. Tomorrow we be the No Chaser with Mac Williams as the host. I am the co-host. 1 o'clock p.m. on Saturday will be the FSP show with Victor as the host, and quite naturally me as the co-host. And hopefully Victor has taken that drug test from his superior, because he's been acting awful shaky. He's been acting awful shaky lately, and I have to start wondering whether it's chemically induced or he's going through some mental meltdown.
It's the high
tune in, people, because we will get to the bottom of this. anyway.
As a matter of fact, that is his new nickname, Chicken and Waffles.
Chicken and Waffles. Really
Chicken and Waffles, that's good. Anyway, on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's me, JT, all by my little self, unless someone happens to join me, either Victor, Black, or even Red Fantasy happens to join me. It doesn't make a difference. We will still be there.
That's right.
What's that?
I said I try to get up on Sundays. I definitely try.
No problem, no problem. I can hold it down by myself, but it's always a pleasure to have one of you guys or someone else call in. Anyway,
taking a while for a check-in from the dispensary.
That'd be the master plan at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And with all that being said, and with all what my three co-hosts have said, Victor, you know where to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, FSP Show proudly presents the Jeff the Joker, Black the Boogie, Nick FSP Gardner, and JTATM Money.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.